You go.
Now I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Well, thanks for having me,
Tim. Well, it's you know, you've been had, so whatever. But point being is, Craig, you dipped your toe in there in the water of politics, and you ran a very competitive race. You did not beat a sitting incumbent, but you gave it to Old College Try, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And I think you had a lot of good points, but and I thought you were very gracious in your loss, and I think that's the right way to be. Somehow, you have lost your ever-loving because you ended up on the Republican Central Committee.
Well, yeah, I did.
I mean, that's good. God bless you. Real good. But yeah. Why?
Well, there was an opening.
Yeah.
You know, we had a member that also was successful running for the Orphans Court.
And, right. And, Mary Raleigh.
Exactly. So because of that, she's precluded from participating
in politics.
A partisan type of situation.
Sure.
So there was an opening. You know, I applied through the process and was selected and appreciated that. And, you know, also took a position as an officer there. And so we want to move along.
What office did you take? So they brought you in. They hoodwinked you, brought you in, said, this is the greatest job you're ever going to have, and the pay is phenomenal. And now, not only do we want you on the Central Committee, we want you to be the chair of the Central Committee.
Well, it's one of those things where, I guess, while, like you alluded to, we didn't quite win. Gave it a
good
college try,
yeah,
for sure, against Ron. Ran a modern campaign.
Yes.
All the different attributes of that, from old-fashioned door-to-door and grassroots, right on up to full media application. So, perhaps some folks on the board saw that, you know, and thought, to help other Republican nominees in the future.
Sure.
Why, let's try to get resources together on a yearly basis, 4 years to the next election, 3 years to the next city election.
Mm-hmm.
Why not try to really, you know, try to put our best foot forward, look at it from a businessman's point of view.
Correct.
Person maybe who has a little bit of experience in politics like myself,
yep,
and try to move it forward. So I guess you know, that's what I could offer, and I imagine that's what the folks.
Well, you know, I'm going to have some criticism for no personalities need to be involved here, but I think the Central Committee, the Republican Central Committee, I don't know very much about the Democrat Central Committee, but the Republican Central Committee over the last decade, in my humble opinion, which I'm unanimous, has fallen to just a committee centrally. That's another way around, but doesn't really do anything. And I don't mean to be critical of you, because I'm giving you all the chance in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But this is as a candidate many years ago, for many times, the Central Committee either was alive and well and promoting, or didn't exist.
Well,
have you heard that before, or am I the only one who's told you that?
Well, you know, I guess different people have different opinions about that, but certainly to move forward.
Yes.
The idea is, I'm kind of a task oriented.
I know that.
The idea of you know, seeing what needs to be done and having people work behind a common purpose to moving towards a goal.
Right.
Some kind of goals type of an application. And I think if you keep
you spun that perfectly. You know, I answered the question. Have you heard criticism of the Central Committee? And now you're telling me your goals. God bless you. You could be a politician, if it works that well.
Previous life
caught you.
But, yeah. Well, you know, I guess people from different walks of life come on board. You know, and they I guess everybody has things that they do well and things that they need to work on. And I guess, like anything else, some group of folks may get along well with better than others. Let's just say that.
Sure.
I think
human,
you know,
nature.
Yeah. So to move forward, you know, I think we have a good group of people. And
how many on the Central Committee?
Well, there's nine.
Nine people.
There are nine. And
we don't have to have any quotas like five women and five men.
No, actually,
like
we don't.
The Democrats do.
I do believe for you know, during this last round of elections, I did realize that they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have. Geez, I don't know if it's nine or what they do. But
I think it's 112. The last number.
Yeah.
Greg, hold your thoughts tonight. I knew that. You knew that, Bob, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay, that's enough.
You are just so.
I'm so
international.
Yeah. Hold on about that. We have Jay Greer Gamry. We have Craig G. Grande with us. Amen. But you know, that was one thing nice, Greg, about your election. Everybody got to learn how to say your name. I mean, you know, because everybody was calling Craig G.
That's right.
Craig, you know, so that worked out well for you. And again, I don't know if anyone ever thanked you. I thank you for running for political office. I know what it's a stress on every part of your life, your business life, your domestic life, your finances, and but it is, I tell you, it's, I try to compare it to like being in the Army. I'm glad I did it. Wouldn't mind doing it again. But are you going to hear from Craig in the future?
Well, it was one of the, to your point, it was one of those things where we had good support.
Yes.
My wife, Linda, was mm-hmm. very, very supportive of it.
Correct.
Believed in the whole effort and really couldn't have done it without her. I couldn't imagine not having that support from
sure.
a spouse, to be honest with you. One of those things, we'll see what happens, you know, as time progresses. I think
I'm happy that you stayed in with the Central Committee because
thank you.
That shows that you're you're dedicated to the cause. And and that cause being in the Central Committee or the Republican, as I see it, is a conservative call.
Well,
and I think we have a better product to sell, but we're not doing a good job selling it.
Well, I think there's still out there it's very relevant, the idea of conservative philosophy.
Yes.
Doing better with limited resources of taxes, so
sure.
that's the fiscal end of it. Kind of less regulation. Taxation and being good stewards of tax dollars.
Oh, what you do,
it's very important.
Stay within, spend within your means. That would be a novel idea for government.
Well, I think also that small business is taken for granted. I'm not
mm-hmm.
going to say taken advantage
question.
Of, although that happens sometimes, but definitely taken for mm-hmm. granted. The goose that lays the golden egg puts
sure.
people to work. More people work for small businesses than large ones, and we need to protect our large business also. But mom and pop type of things. So many people that I know started businesses really, really small.
Right.
And then after a couple of years, they have 5, 7, maybe 10 workers.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that needs to be.
But you know how
not just paid lip service to it.
Well, another point is that people don't realize that running a small business, Craig. Is it's great to do your whatever it be, whether it be a catering business or whether it be a hardware store. That's the fun part of it. The hard part is trying to stay in business with all the regs mm-hmm. of the government, all the taxing and all that we face. So that's I credit you for having that knowledge. And I'm glad to see that we have a new Secretary of Commerce, former Republican House delegate member, Kelly Schultz. And
mm-hmm. I just heard about that.
I was a shock to me.
Mm-hmm.
She had spent a great first 4 years over $1, we call it, Department of Labor.
Department of Labor.
Yep.
The elevator.
Yep, elevator.
That's where most people know it from.
Yep, and I was glad to see her that she was tapped for that because I think that's a not all secretaries are prestigious jobs, but I think saying that a lady from Frederick County is now the Secretary of Commerce in the state of Maryland is a pretty big thing. Do you think, I'm going to talk to you about politics coming back. We have to take a very short break coming up here. I want to talk about projections for the days ahead. 2 years we have a presidential election coming up, I've been told. 3 years we have a city election coming up. We're not doing so good there. So we'll talk to the head of the Republicans to call and talk with the new head of the Republican Central Committee, Craig Giagrande, who is spending time this afternoon with us. Now I'm going to go ahead and pose some questions. Craig, you're obviously on the Central Committee now. You're supposed to be up on all the politics and things such as that.
Mm-hmm.
During the last city election, the Republican Party didn't do so well. I don't think there's one Republican on the alderman.
No alderman. That's
and
correct,
the mayor, I think, is Democrat also.
Mm-hmm.
So we favored a little bit better in the county where you had, mm-hmm. We have, four out of the three out of seven. Three out of seven, right.
That's right. 3 to 4.
So we kind of lost out there also.
Mm-hmm.
And some other races that I thought we should have done better on. What is the I can't tell you don't know yet. Well, what is the stick to get Republicans alive again? Because I think they're here, and I think even when we get the liberals from Montgomery County, once they see our way of life and understand it's because of conservative values and not liberal values, that they tend to come around. It took my wife some years to do so. She came out of Montgomery County, but after a while, once they see how things can be, then I think it works.
Well, you're certainly, that's optimistic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
To say, but it's one of those things where.
You think national politics affects it?
I think it has a certain headwind to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
Depends where you are, for sure. Closer you get to Frederick City, the
mm-hmm.
more it's going to affect, I would say. I believe that this time around, there was a good turnout on the part of the Republicans.
What do we have a percentage number?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
Okay.
There was a good turnout.
Okay.
The thing about it was there was a great turnout on the part of the Democrats.
Right.
The modeling, for instance, for my campaign that we were using to
sure.
say, well, if you can turn some Democrats, that would be nice.
And right.
Also, if the turnout numbers
mm-hmm.
were moderately higher, then you try to look
sure.
at what is your path to victory.
Exactly.
And so
sure.
you see, well, this you plug in some numbers and this could work,
mm-hmm.
and you try not to come up with an answer that you want. You really want to try to look at what you think could happen.
Sure.
And that's not exactly what happened. There was definitely. to say, I don't know if they're talking about a blue tide.
Blue wave. But what happened? Why doesn't the, not locally, not you, you're just fresh on the job, but why don't the Republicans, I mean, when you see a Trump rally, it's wild. It's crazy. If you've never been, it's something to see. And people are energized and people are excited. Mm-hmm. But how do you transform that or transplant it to our local people? Because I still believe that Donald Trump's going to walk handily into his second term. I don't think there's anything out there going to slow him down. And I think the left or the progressives are very silly thinking that they have any idea what's going on, because they don't.
Well, I think the president definitely has his,
base.
He does his research.
Yep.
He knows who, you know, with modern techniques, I'm sure, which areas to go.
And
you look at what you should do is look at the map mm-hmm. of the states that he won.
Right.
And, try to protect that map. You know, certainly the upper, mid part of the country.
The Rust Belt.
The Rust Belt.
Yep.
Some of those states up there, Wisconsin,
sure.
He landed, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. which is a little closer to home.
Do you think he can do it after
Great Lakes area? What's that?
Do you think he'll be able to do it? I mean, it's 2 years away, but
I think he's
one of the first presidents I remember that actually does what he says he's going to do, and I think that's novel.
Well, I think he changed it up for sure with using social media to directly come into contact with his base.
Sure.
And that's what he did.
And to counter mm-hmm. the mainstream or lamestream media. Yeah. Because it's this second in his both his run for office, his election to office, his time in office has yet to get a break from mainstream media.
Yeah. I read somewhere, and I can't remember exactly where I read it, and it was that if a person comes into politics but has experience otherwise. So in Trump's case,
like business?
In President Trump's case, it would be for business. In Eisenhower's case, it would be he was a general.
Yeah.
If they have that path that they excelled in other areas and then they came into politics, it's a different dynamic than somebody that comes up from local politics
right.
to state politics.
That's their whole
politics.
Life. That's all
it is. People are a little bit more forgiving from what the article said with somebody that came from the outside with outside success. It's a different dynamic, and the president got on top of that, and he definitely leveraged that, in my late mm-hmm. opinion. That's what happened.
What do you think about let's take you down to update politics. The president wants $5 billion for the wall, mm-hmm. and we definitely need a wall. We need to secure the border, no question about that. Mm-hmm. Or he has threatened, as you know, to shut down the government.
Have a partial shutdown of the government, 20%, that type of
mm-hmm.
thing. So I was watching the news earlier, and one of the talking heads was asking, asked both a Republican and a Democrat at different times, well, what if it was just $2.5 billion? You know, would that work? And so I'm not sure if there is going to be some type of a bargain here. Perhaps that could work.
Mm-hmm.
You have Chuck Schumer on the Senate. You have Nancy Pelosi of the House. And they're going to, they have been
talking to the media. They cannot let Trump get this victory. He's had too many victories. It has nothing to do with the money. There's plenty of money there. It has nothing to do with immigration and border security. None of that. It has to do with they cannot keep letting Trump win. And that's why that's why I'm surprised that more people don't see that, because that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. There's nobody in their right mind who is an American that would deny that money for the wall to protect the citizens. How could you oppose that? If you're out there and you want to call in, 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363, I want to know how you can oppose protection of this country. How can you oppose the wall?
I think you have to protect the borders.
Yes,
and
without question.
The president says that, and this particular news, I watched the news for about 20 minutes today,
mm-hmm.
They actually had recordings of Chuck Schumer.
Yes.
President Obama when he was Senator Obama.
Yes.
Candidate Hillary Clinton for her first run.
Mm-hmm.
And some other folks that actually their take was pretty much what you just said for the most part, that we have to protect the borders.
We have an obligation.
And they used, they were not apologetic about it. And that was all about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it's changed.
It's because it's, again, we go back to the nonsense of political insensitivity. Whereas what they want to call political insensitivity, where I think it's sensible, 100% sensible. In other words, we cannot make criminals feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is asininity at its best. You cannot make a criminal feel bad. I'm so sorry you broke the law. What can we do to make your life better? I don't understand this. But this is the mantra. It comes out from our indoctrinated schools. It comes out from millennials who, not all, but some spend their day philosophizing about life and go home to mom's basement. I know that, or walk around circles at Starbucks, and, figuring out there's something going on. I just think that the Republican Party to keep me interested in the Republican Party has got to take a stand and stop this nonsense. I, during the last election, I kept saying, I'm not voting for entrenched Republican people because they have become part of the problem. And I don't, I saw no difference between a entrenched Democrat and a entrenched Republican. They were in Washington. I'm talking about higher,
in Washington,
you know,
right?
I'm not talking mm-hmm. about local politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, to, if we don't, the conservative, the Republican Party, I don't know what it represents. It's supposed to be smaller government, less taxes, you know, less regulations, and it became nothing more. We had the White House, the Congress, and the Senate. And we, mm-hmm. what did we accomplish?
Well, I think to your point about, mm-hmm. you know, the immigration thing, certainly, it's a national, the borders need to be protected by national.
Without question.
Officials. The laws need to be enacted by national representatives. As it relates, as you come down to,
sure.
to the state level, that's why, I'm a big supporter of Sheriff Jenkins'
sure.
287G program, where it doesn't directly deal with immigration, which he's forbidden from doing, but it does talk about when, an illegal alien commits a crime.
Right.
And so, that's a real, for me, that's a real line in the sand.
Correct.
At the state level. Because everybody has their piece of the pie, or everybody has their role to play.
Right.
So there's many people that feel the way that you do, for sure, about the national level. We have laws on the books. We need to enforce them. We need to buttress it up, as far as protecting the borders, whether it is a wall
mm-hmm.
or, men, women, materiel.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that needs to be worked on. And it hasn't been done very well, and we need to get better at it.
Well, how do we then, you know, without having, you know, I'm saying three things. Frederick County now has a huge population that's not Republican and they're not Democrat.
Yes, they're either
unaffiliated.
Independent, unaffiliated.
Yeah, and to me, it is getting to a point where some of these parties, both Democrats, the Democrats seem to be faring better right now, needs to take a look at what do we stand for? Otherwise, why have a party? And, you know, maybe I'd be more comfortable as an independent or as an unaffiliated because if you're going to do the same thing, you're not, you know, the Republicans, Democrats, they talk about how different they are. Mm-hmm. They're so close, it's not funny.
Well, I think that's some dissatisfaction, disaffection.
Right, sure.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, we do live in an area next to D.C.
I've heard that.
Mm-hmm. Department of Defense contractors or
sure.
workers. So some people do also do it for the privacy, to mm-hmm. be honest with you, about being unaffiliated.
Yeah.
But the fact is that you have to get your voice out there, like you would just mention. You mentioned some things just rolled right off your tongue as far as smaller government efficiencies. You talked about law and order.
Yeah.
There's another one.
Talk about that in a second. President Trump. We left off a little bit ago. I was talking about what the president says and does is kind of unique. And in my lifetime, Harry Truman was the only other president that I felt would actually do whatever they said they did or tried to do. I was not a fan of Donald Trump. To this day, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. But I would vote for him anytime over the people that they're throwing out against me. You know, my candidate was never going to win. I knew that. And it wasn't Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan or whomever it was. I had my own candidates. And, you know, like, I like Huckabee. Like, he had no chance. I knew that. But I like the guy. So if I like you, I'm going to vote for you. I almost voted for you this time. But anyhow, but Ron's my neighbor. You know, you can't give my vote away, Ron.
There you go.
Hey, Ron, I voted for you. No, I didn't. But anyhow, I just think that what we as Republicans, and I'm still calling myself a Republican, I don't want to go away from that. I don't want to be a butt Otis. I don't want to have to leave the party. But sometimes, as I've seen, the party leaves us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have such a challenge ahead of you, and we'll talk about situations where I think there's here's a good question. Does the Central Committee get along with itself? I've always heard from as an outsider, there was infighting. I mean, we have the Central Committee, Republican. Mm-hmm. We have the used to be the Men's Republican Club. I think it's called just Republican Club now.
Club.
We have there's another one called the Conservative Club mm-hmm. with Miller.
And then there's a Women's Republican
women's
Club also.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, part of my idea of the Central Committee is to reach out to some of these clubs
sure.
and work with them. You know, particularly one of the larger ones would be the Republican Club.
Sure.
And
they're active. That was Mark's group and Cindy's group.
Mark, yes.
And they're
mm-hmm.
very... Mm-hmm. They're alive.
Yeah, they are. They have new leadership now to take over where, you know,
Mark and Cindy's.
Other folks had been there for many years mm-hmm. and done
who's in
job.
Charge of that now?
Marie Fisher-Wyrick is the president, and okay. Hayden Duke is the vice president.
Excellent.
And so I think it's a great opportunity to continue the progress of.
Did you know that Hayden Duke's name was used on blogs? That's not him.
I had heard that.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
On the Frederick News Post, perhaps. There's a person there that's not him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not him.
But I think
working hand in hand, mm-hmm. especially as it relates to outreach,
right.
Grassroots type of things, some functions.
Sure.
That the club is perfectly suited to help reach out to folks, mm-hmm. expand the message, and try to get new blood, you know, into the party. So I'm looking forward to working with them.
And I think, you know, it can be done. The part mm-hmm. is, and I do believe the more that people are not as educated as they should be regarding politics. That's a word, you can write that down. And education comes along with life. And I think a lot of younger people, and I have younger children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, they have an idea, but they've never lived it.
Mm-hmm.
And my hope always is that once you get a job and you go to work and you see Uncle Sam takes this much money off of you, or you got to pay this, and you think, what's this? You know, I thought there was a government agency called the FICUS. I didn't know. I thought it was a foreign government or something. It was sort of like the Halloween disease, you know, when people go around for UNICEF. I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. Point being is, what I'm trying to say is, once people get into life, I would think it would be very difficult to remain a progressive or a socialist. Now, you've got this woman from New York, Cortez, mm-hmm. whatever, who is so far out there that she has a following.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other people that think this way, Craig, and it bothers mm-hmm. me that, you know, don't they understand that there's no such thing as a free lunch?
Well, she took out the his name escapes me right now.
Yeah, Ortiz.
So she took out the congressperson that was in there, and so... Yeah, once that happened, pretty much the general was just a formality.
Yeah.
So I think that's – I think years ago folks didn't – you know, the word socialist, you know, they would cover up about that.
Yeah, I would think so.
Now there's less so, for sure. You know, Cortez refers to herself as a socialist.
Socialist, yeah.
So, you know, the idea of government taking a more active position, than somebody clarified going back about a democratic socialist. I guess Bernie Sanders did that. The difference between that
what is the difference? I don't know the difference.
As it was described, as I listened to it,
yes.
Instead of the government owning the factors of production,
okay.
Right, so the government is directly responsible for that.
Okay.
Their 5-year, 10-year plan, all that. To me, it was just a very high taxation, very high regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So that business, if they wanted to do anything, would have to get approvals. And basically, the government, instead of running things, that they were your partner to the degree they were, you know, right there, 50-50 partner with you as a layman. That's what I would basically say democratic socialism is.
And her name is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or as Frank would say, Cortez. And I'm going to talk about immigration. We're coming right back. We have to take 301-694-9363. 301-694-9363. Your chance to call in and give us your opinion. I'm talking with Craig Giagrande, and we're talking immigration right now. All right, Craig, you said that you support the sheriff of Frederick County because he is a participant in the 287G program.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think? Did you recognize it? Because I know some of the criticism of you in your business life mm-hmm. is that you don't want to see anything done with immigration because that we could get cheaper workers there, Craig. We could, you know, this is, you know, it's only for the big business guys that
have it. Well, there was some going back to the springtime.
Yeah,
my
I heard
opponent
so.
Had mentioned that at a political event that he.
In fact,
was
I saw it.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the fact is, you know, we do e-verify.
Certainly.
About as close as you can get to
that's about it.
The truth. So that's what we do, even though the law says a technically correct I-9 form. So
mm-hmm.
that's what it is right now.
Yeah.
One of the things is that e-verify, you know, is not mandated. I think there's certain parts of Texas and down in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. But
they don't even do it?
No, that it is kind of the law that they have to do it. But
I never knew that e-verified really did anything, because e-verify, you put a name in mm-hmm. and they say that name is there or not, and it doesn't mean anything. You just e-verify.
Mm-hmm.
But there is I don't want to get into business or your business. Mm-hmm. I want to get into what can be done as you see, you know, in this fight right now with Donald Trump, wanting money for the border wall or the mm-hmm. border security, and he's smart to call it border security, because there's some places along the border that mm-hmm. a wall would be impractical, to say the least. So how do you take it is what can be done? Is there an answer? The solution to this, or is it just us against them?
Well, I think you have to have the will
mm-hmm.
to do something. I think when you endeavor to do something, you have to make up your mind. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And so I think the president...
Don't you think the whole country has the will to do something or not?
I would hope so. I would hope so. I know the president does.
Sure.
We talked about it before.
Sure,
apparently politicians, you know, maybe 10 years ago did, and mm-hmm. something happened.
Yeah.
So I'm not... I think that's pretty heavy thing to blame it on Donald Trump, that now they're just playing... what's the word? That just because he wants it, they don't.
Exactly.
Something happened along the line. So I'm not sure if it's voter replacement or what they're looking for. But if you have the will to do something and then you need to follow through, the things just don't happen. You have to put procedure, policies, materiel, manpower in place to make something
right.
happen. And a big thing like border security is important. And I think you're right about the verbiage that's used. When you talk about border security,
mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, a little bit more important than talking about one part of that, which is the wall.
Exactly.
And so I think the Democrat Party is pretty good at that.
Sure.
I think they're pretty good, even from how they referred to themselves as liberals years ago.
Yep.
Now it's progressives.
Progressives, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If you talk about...
labels.
They're very good at the labels. I will say that. It's no longer global warming. It's mm-hmm. climate change.
Sure.
It's not abortion. It's choice.
Yeah.
So I think
pro-choice,
they're quite
yeah.
good at defining the language,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's important. When you're branding yourself, I think that's important to do.
You say something, Bob?
No, I was just going to say a lot of the complaints that people have
what?
About Donald Trump, in addition to the way he talks too much or whatever
he the way he does. Talks.
But you know what? One of his problems is all he's doing is enforcing the laws. You know, everybody complained about, oh, he took all these kids and ripped them away from their parents and everything. And, you know, he killed that little girl down there this past week. But you know what? All of those are just laws that now exist. If Congress doesn't like the laws, change them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all you got to do is go out, vote. Hey, I don't like this anymore. Change it. That's
well, I think that's what you're going to see in Maryland coming up this year as far as marijuana laws. It's recreational marijuana is coming to Maryland, and people that don't think so are just denying facts. And, Craig, hold that thought. We take a very short break. It's the Fifth Dimension. What's it called? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's one and above. 301-694-9363. 301-694-9363. Bob Dacey fills in for... Franklin, who is on, he's on work release. He's on, not
he's
work.
On leave right now.
Yeah, on leave. Yeah, work release. Is it work release?
I don't believe so.
So Craig joined us. All right, we left off. I was talking about situations regarding illegals, and is this going to be the downfall, or is this going to be the upshot of the Republican Party on our stance on illegal immigration? Because apparently, as all politics are local, as we say. Yet we saw at the last election in the county that there were some coattails that were used from the left rather than from the right, and that for example, marijuana and coming into the state of Maryland, it's going to be legalized. With me, I have no doubt. I think it's just a matter of time, and I think the time's going to be this year because the election's over. That people have 3 or 4 years to, you know, not worry about it because of the consequences of legalizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do we...
Well, again, they went from decriminalization, right,
yep.
to making it a civil
yep.
offense.
Yep.
You can get written a ticket.
A certain amount, yep.
So, you know, I think you may be correct. And the problem that I have with that is when somebody gets behind the wheel of a motor vehicle...
Correct.
Not having a accurate breathalyzer type of a
mm-hmm.
unit that would... be able to pick up the amount of THC
exactly
in a person.
I mean, you could cut their hair and send it off, but it'd be a while. You know,
yeah, well,
it'd be a long traffic stop.
And you'd have to determine between the latent, you know,
yeah.
the actual residual type of
exactly.
because it stays in your system in such places
sure.
such as the hair for a good long while with the active ingredient that is that affects your.
Do we need any more people on the road being you know high? I mean, we have alcohol, which is a recognized. An accepted mm-hmm. lifestyle, and it causes, you know, how many people die a year from drunk drivers, as we both know, and you're still in the law enforcement business.
Mm-hmm.
But we out now add the second part of having...
I think you have to have a test for that. I truly
do.
You know, a blood test isn't the answer because it's not practical.
Right.
So that's just not going to happen. Obviously, God forbid, if there was a major accident and
mm-hmm.
then they're compelled to you know, have a blood sample,
yeah,
that's
sure.
a different story. But, you know, for, I'm not going to say routine because I don't think driving under the influence is routine at all.
Mm-hmm.
But for, you know, a person pulled over... and the officer suspects that they may be under the influence of
sure.
a drug, if it's the drug is legalized, I think it's beholden on us to try to come up with some type of a test for that. And I think they're putting the cart before the horse.
Well, I think that, and I think you're seeing a lot of things that are going to be changed. For example, our local liquor board set some legislation over, or what is it called? Liquor board. Set some legislation over that they wanted to first of all, a license holder could hold more than one license, which mm-hmm. I don't know that that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Right now, you can own one, but if you take a good restaurateur who has several businesses, why should he have to count on somebody driving by who lives in the area to have their name on it? Mm-hmm. Then you have grocery store, mom and pop grocery stores wanting to sell beer and wines. Now, but there's a diss to the larger grocery stores that they don't want, your Safeways or your Giant or your whatever, Giant Eagle to have mm-hmm. beer and wine. So it's going to be fascinating to see how the legislators take that. And, I think, go ahead, sir.
There's different states that do different models.
Sure.
That, just on the East Coast, if you look at Pennsylvania.
Different counties do it.
Different counties. Pennsylvania probably would be one of the most restrictive mm-hmm. ones in the area. I mean,
right.
If it's a beer distributor, you can buy cases of beer.
Mm-hmm.
To go for wine or liquor, you have to go to a state store. And then there's packaged goods that sell six packs of beer. So it's that would be on the other side of it. Definitely to have, beer and wine in a grocery store is a little bit different,
you've been to Ocean City, and of course you go into 7-Eleven Ocean City. There's beer and wine there, and mm-hmm. right out in front of everybody, and they sell quite a bit of it. So.
They do.
But it's county to county in Maryland. What, Bob?
Yeah. Oh, I was just wondering, the state stores in Pennsylvania, if you knew the real story behind how they got started.
How they get started, Bob?
You don't know?
No, I've never been to Pennsylvania.
Well, it's a classic
to stay
example
away from there.
A government not being able to retract itself. The state stores in Pennsylvania were started after the Johnstown flood of 1936.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. You probably
remember
that.
I was there.
Better I did.
Right, exactly.
And what happened is they needed money to help with all that reconstruction and everything. So they developed the state store system, and they said, we're going to tax liquor, we're going to sell it only in special places because we're coming out of prohibition, and that's where the state stores began. And then they said, I think the flood of 1936 in Johnstown has been somewhat paid for already.
So. I'm working on that. Now, also, look at Montgomery County. You got David Trone down there who owns the liquor store?
David Trone owns
the wine.
Total Wine and More.
Wow.
Total Wine and More. Now, I'm not sure if there's a presence actually in Maryland. I'm not sure with the liquor.
I thought it was Montgomery County that they had it. Maybe not.
Well, he's all over, right? It's different states and such.
I'm sure. Because he certainly was able to come up with quite a bit of influential campaign money.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And that did affect, that did play into local politics.
Yeah, because
for sure.
Some of his money floated
down.
He made
it rain all over the place.
Yes, he did.
There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
He made it rain all over the place. County races, definitely District 3 race for state Senate position, the delegate race for both 3A and 3B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he even helped out folks in District 4, but definitely countywide races and legislative District 3 for sure.
What do you think of the setup of the new delegation as far as chairman and vice chairman? How do you like that idea?
I thought it was good. I thought that they kind of have a I don't know if you've watched it, but I did watch the video to it, and mm-hmm. it was a little alarming. There were two there was a senator and a delegate that were very contentious.
Why?
They want two reasons. They wanted to have as near as I remember, they wanted to have it alternating all planned out in advance for the next 4 years. That there would be a chairman of one party, vice chairman of another, chairman, and then to switch it the second year, switch it back the third year, and switch it the fourth year. They wanted that prescribed. And then also, those two were very up in arms about alleging that the outcome had been previously determined.
Rodney, thank you for taking time out of your day.
Well, thank you.
The time flies by. We're like in the 5 o'clock hour. People coming up and down the road. If see something, say something. You commuters out there, don't hold back. If you see something, give us a call at 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. I wanted to pass on to you. I could become a promoter for this. John Asbury. Mm-hmm. You know John?
I do know John.
Just finished his second book, and it comes out this week or next week. Harry Covert told me yesterday. I can't wait to get it because John is one of my favorite writers.
Right.
He really is and a great guy to have. John, you don't owe me a book or anything. I'm just telling the truth here. I use him as often as I can because of his schedule to speak to groups. Mm-hmm. He just has so much knowledge, institutional knowledge. I'm looking forward. This is called, what was it? What was it, Bob? Did you pay attention yesterday? Of course not.
No.
What was it?
I'm sitting over here napping while you're talking.
Yeah, it was something like the last rights or last to let
you down. It's about people.
Yeah, it was about people, but he talked about
his columns that he's
but
done
people,
about people.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So I could be a promoter for John Asbury's new book, and I'm looking forward to
it. You going to get cut out of it?
No, I don't want to cut out of it. I just want to buy it and get it on there. So 301-694-93. Now, something else, Craig. Are you going to get involved in any of the you live in the city. That's why you obtained the name Downtown Craig.
That's right.
And we appreciate that. That's how we met you.
Years ago, before
Craig was into politics and he had his full capacities with him, he started to call and would offer an opinion because you have background in business, in law enforcement.
Frank, a little bit.
Well, you always won there. It's more like toe to toad. But anyhow, we appreciate that. Interested in any more? I always thought that you were going to be tapped for one of the city commissions. Because they have so many, and you have an opinion. I thought always that you would be seeking one of those. Not alderman, I don't mean that. I mean like head of the historical society or whatever it's called, or something silly like that.
I think once I put in for the transit thing, that's a county thing.
Okay. They just turn you down, of course.
Yeah, I just never heard anything back.
I've never been accepted.
You've been around a while.
Yeah. That means you're old, Craig. That's all it means is that you're old.
Yeah, there you go.
But I don't know if you heard my first hour or not. I was talking about our board of education, which I'm going to continue because people tend to send me more and more information. Now, your children are out of school or in school?
They're out. Oh, they're out. They're all out. 220-somethings. She's 27, 25.
Right.
Yeah.
So my granddaughter just turned 26, so that makes us about the same age. But I was wondering if in fact, you were interested in any other the things like school board or something like that, because they have tapped you, whether you know it or not, that you're now going to be the face of the Republican Party in Frederick County. I mean, whether you knew that or not going in. They don't tell you these things.
Now,
anything that goes right, you can take credit for. And every daggone thing that goes wrong, you're going to get blamed for.
Sounds like the plight of a small business.
Exactly. You know, isn't it funny, fun in business where, I mean, I was in business for a long time, and I made sure the employees got paid first, and then but now... Smart business people get paid themselves first, and I never could do that. I mean, I never had, you know, in small business, you worry about cash flow, and I wasn't in the service industry, but not in the not in the product. And we would wait up every other Thursday night. We paid every other week, and I'd stay up all night Thursday night hoping the receivables came in.
And if people only
knew the pleasures of being a small business owner and what these people do, and I have so much respect for anybody that is actually in business that that does the best that they can, and
that's
it's hard.
That's the one area that I'm not familiar with, receivables. The restaurant people, you know, you get your money pretty
point
much.
Point of sale,
right there. So, but the other things, like you mentioned, I mean, so many things to go right, but so many things to go wrong.
And
I think any organization, you have to, you know, push it. You have to kind of keep people focused on the goal, and because you let your foot off the gas, what happens is it might take a while, depending if you have a really good business.
Right.
It might take a while, but I've seen other folks where it just it starts to decline. You know,
that's what I'm trying to do with some of my businesses. I know. I also do a shout out, Janelle. Thank you. You don't think I don't appreciate that you brought me a half of a plate of lasagna. That's gone, and both those cookies are gone. No, God bless you, Janelle. Thank you so much for listening. Let's go to Joe. What does Joe say?
Hey, good evening, Tim.
Good evening, brother. What's on your ever-loving?
Well, that was real quick. That's awesome. Hey, are you guys talking about any particular subject? I haven't been listening because I don't have a radio in the truck here, but I got a couple things on my mind.
Bring it up, Joe. Just tell me what's on your mind.
Well, the Obamacare thing. I mean,
who?
You know, the Obama.
Oh, Obama. Obama. I apologize.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
I mean,
one and only.
The biggest scam in American history. But anyway, you know, it's liberals who, you know, for the most part, don't take care of themselves and, you know, the smoking of the marijuana and the other drugs and that sort of thing. So they harm themselves throughout the course of their life. And then they want health care toward the latter part of their life because they can't take care of themselves. And, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. And it's not just liberals.
But
the fact of the matter is that, you know, I'm glad the judge saw Obamacare for what it is.
Exactly.
Hopefully that it carries through and there aren't any appeals to that, because because really we need to get rid of that.
What do you, Joe, what do you, I'm with you partway here. First of all, I think that, I don't say it as a Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative. I think people have a tendency in a certain mindset that the government's going to take care of them. And no matter what you do to yourself, you know, big government's going to take care of me. And I think that's why the Obamacare was able to come through. And I think the courts got it wrong 100% because, in my humble opinion, of which I'm unanimous, this is the first time that I know of that the court dictated a commercial entity to provide a service and penalize you if you didn't. And I don't think that's I don't think the government can do that.
Well, I think when they were putting it up, when President Obama you know, put it up, it was not he represented it was not a tax.
Right.
And then when it went to court,
the only way it could pass was to make it a commerce tax. Yes.
And quite frankly, Chief Justice Roberts kind of went with that.
Yeah.
And was the deciding vote.
Yeah, we remember that. Yeah. Another John McCain.
The interesting thing is when they did do away this past session with the individual mandate.
Yes.
I can tell you from a person that employs many young folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they were happy.
They were happy. They weren't. A lot of them did not avail themselves of. They took the penalty.
Yeah, and plus, you have to pay workman's comp. I mean, if somebody hurts themselves on my job, I've got to take care of them.
Oh yeah,
Joe, what else you have for me?
Hey, yeah, and well, I'm a veteran, so I'm exempt from that because for the last 6 years, I've been using my. You know, my VA benefits that are available
right.
to me. God bless the VA.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you because you nobody gave it to you. You earned it, and I thank you for your service.
Hey, and Tim, can I say one more thing?
You may.
You know how we were talking about, you know, a couple of weeks ago I called in, and a couple of days ago I called in as well regarding flooding here in Frederick.
Yes, sir.
I got a good idea, and look, I'm being serious. I'm not joking. I think they should tear down what used to be the Fredericktown Mall. Tear it down.
Okay.
And plant trees and stuff in there. And, you know, if not have a park, but at least just tear it down. I mean, if you're not going to use it,
mm-hmm.
tear it down, plant grass and plant trees in there so that we have, because that's where, you remember,
yeah.
remember back in April when we had that flood?
I sure do.
The Golden Mile was flooded, Tim. There were vehicles that were almost completely
Correct.
Submerged.
On the parking lot of the Fredericktown Mall. I do that. And Joe, what do you think it's going to be like when they finish the Summers property and they have the ones, the VFW is gone and there's no more runoff. There's no more permeable, if that's the word, ground to soak it up.
Permeable.
Yeah, we're major problems.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we're going to have major problems. You know, these developers, all they got is dollar signs in their head.
Amen.
They don't think about the ramifications of what it's going to take. You know, for you know, the flooding's going to get worse, Tim.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. It's really sad that we don't have people with common sense that can't make good decisions.
Amen.
You can't put blacktop down and building housing development after apartment complex. I mean, over and over again. This is not. They're trying to turn us into you know a suburban
yep.
town, and it can't be that. I mean, this is a farming community. We said that over and over and over again.
Exactly right.
I don't know. We'll see what the future holds.
All right, Joe, you keep me posted, and I'll keep you posted. We'll be fine. We're going to take a very short break here at 5:48, and I'll talk to you from Clarksburg and also, what I miss, Mount Airy. But before I do that, or German Shepherdstown, yeah, it's like when we, you know, met with you before you came on today, the hours that we spent together.
Untold hours.
Untold.
Right.
In fact, we're not going to tell you. 301-694-9363, 301-694. Tim is going to continue his... investigation of the schools in Frederick County. I thank you for the emails or the texts and things like that, tim@wfmd.com. We get that, and I'll try to finish up maybe by the end of the week. I want to have either Brad Young, which is very comfortable coming on, or Dr. Alvin, and I just want answers. And I don't think I'm asking too much because you and I live in the city. My city taxes and county taxes are unbelievable, over $9,000 a year, just one little house. My house is only... I think 400 square feet, so it's very.
And you have to wreck your.
Nobody's
lease.
Talking to you, Bob.
You're pushing up against that salt.
Yeah,
right?
That,
really, aren't you? $10,000. That's right.
301-694-9363. 301-694-936. Come to
you
my favorite.
12 that come rake your leaves.
I know that. 5:55 come up. That's my favorite time. You know, it is sad though, because a lot of my neighbors, like myself, we're not spring chickens. You know, old buzzers, what they call me. But, you know. Like we talked earlier, I can go out and run the blower and blow the leaves and get them in the street, but I can't now, I know, because someone told me yesterday that the city of Frederick threatened them with a $300 fine. Now, you don't blow them in the street, but what about the trees? They don't know this. You know, the trees that are out there that are actually throwing the leaves on the, they don't actually throw them. Who's going to get fined?
It's falling in the street anyway.
It's asininity. I want to find out the truth behind this. I'm thinking that I read it right that the big vacuum truck that the city has is broken, and that they don't want to pay to have it fixed because it's very expensive. I don't know.
Sucks. I'm sorry.
Oh, that was good, Bob. That was good. It sucks. But what I'm thinking is that we've got to go back to this because I understand sometimes you make these decisions based on part information or a little bit, and you think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the people of my daughter said this, New Coke. Remember Coca-Cola? Mm-hmm. They came out with New Coke. The dumbest thing ever happened. Until I explained to everyone, it was the smartest thing Coca-Cola.
From a marketing point.
It was all marketing.
Everybody started talking about Coca-Cola again.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was.
And there was never an intention not to bring Coke back.
No.
Plus,
no.
But people also don't remember, they came out with five new Coke products.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, during that period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so.
It was a genius marketing.
It was. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's why I think, now watch this segue.